SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yiridamarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Friday the 13th. Coming up on today's show, we chat with two recipients of the 2025 First Nations Fellowship Award at the recent First Nations Arts Awards, singer-songwriter and music producer Candice LeRae and Ben Gratz, who has been working in the performing arts sector for over 26 years. The Fellowship Award by Creative Australia supports outstanding established artists or art workers' creative activity and professional development. And we're listening to NITV Radio.
In 1972, saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
The National Peak Body for Indigenous Legal Services is urging the federal government to call a national cabinet meeting over Indigenous deaths in custody. The National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services Organisation says it is time for the mass incarceration of Indigenous people to be put on the national cabinet agenda. The call comes after the death of two Indigenous men in police custody in the Northern Territory in just 2 weeks. First, 24-year-old Kumanjai White, after he was restrained by police at an Alice Springs supermarket, and then a 68-year-old man after being taken into protective custody by the Australian Federal Police. NATSIL's Chief Executive Carly Warner has told NITV the government must address what she described as the over-incarceration of First Nations people.
The Commonwealth should show national leadership and create a federal system that at least allows for independent investigations of deaths in police custody. They can do this at the federal level. They could also allow for this federal system to ensure that independent investigators could go into other jurisdictions.
Aboriginal people attending the annual Barunga Festival in the Northern Territory have expressed their sorrow and solidarity in the wake of the recent deaths in custody in Alice Springs. Kumanjai White was a 24-year-old Walpri man with a disability who died shortly after being forcibly restrained by two plainclothes police officers at a supermarket on May 27. A coronial inquest has been paused while a criminal investigation takes place and forensic pathology is underway to determine the cause of death. The chair of the Jawan Association Aboriginal Corporation, Lisa Mumbin, says she has family in the police but can't accept what has happened.
And here we are, we still got our police force that is supposed to keep us safe. We know they deal with many hard things in life, but what took place just wasn't accepted at all. Not from me anyway, not from Jawan people.
A review has found about two-thirds of Commonwealth contracts do not meet a minimum requirement to hire Indigenous people or use Indigenous businesses. The audit office found since 2016 over 1,400 contracts worth $70 billion failed to meet the minimum standard of Indigenous participation from staff or businesses. Commonwealth contracts are subjected to the Indigenous hiring rule when the contract value exceeds $7.5 million. The rule applies when over half of the contract's value is spent in a nominated industry in Australia, including construction, healthcare, industrial cleaning, or wildlife management. Auditors say it is unclear why these contracts have disregarded the rule, but they also found only a fifth of these contracts have been assessed for compliance. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer says his government has launched an investigation into the deadly plane crash in India. UK officials say there were 53 British citizens aboard the plane, including the only survivor. Sir Keir has confirmed the government is sending a multidisciplinary team to assist their Indian counterparts with an investigation into the crash.
Obviously, we're establishing the facts and the investigation is ongoing. We're in constant contact with the Indian authorities. We've dispatched our own team that's been acknowledged to work with them. But, you know, our hearts and our thoughts are absolutely with the friends and families of all those affected who are going to be absolutely devastated by this awful news.
The privately run Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has accused Hamas of killing eight of its workers as they travelled by bus toward an aid centre near the southern city of Khan Yunis. The US and Israel-backed group, which took over aid distribution from all other agencies on May 27th, also said an unspecified number of workers were taken hostage. Social media channels in Gaza suggested Hamas targeted the bus because it allegedly carried members of a rival militant group Israel admits to arming. Hamas has declined to comment on the shootings. A United Nations senator from California was forcibly removed after interrupting a news conference being held by the US Homeland Security chief. Footage of the incident shows security agents pushing Senator Alex Padilla from the room where Kristi Noem was speaking about the controversial immigration arrests in America's second biggest city. The agents forced the senator to the floor and handcuffed him. Senator Padilla, one of two Democratic senators representing California in the upper chamber of Congress, can be heard trying to ask Ms. Noem about the targeting of immigrants.
To the rioters and to the politicians in Los Angeles.
Because the fact of the matter is, a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your...
I also want to talk about specifically...
US President Donald Trump has authorized the deployment of 4,000 National Guard troops and 700 US Marines to try to quell protests over the immigration raids. A new survey shows 1 in 10 LGBTIQ plus young people in Australia experienced physical assault in the past 12 months. Over half of them were also verbally harassed due to their identity in the past year. It also found over a third of the interviewees nationally had already experienced physical harm for their identity at some point in their life. The survey was done by Minus 18, a mental health charity for queer youth, which interviewed almost 3,000 LGBTIQ plus people aged 13 to 25. Victorian Premier Jacinta Allen says she supports calls for stronger rules for IVF services after another mix-up at a leading fertility clinic. IVF campaigners have demanded improved federal regulation after Monash IVF revealed a second instance of an error involving an embryo transfer 2 months after a separate mix-up. Ms. Allen says the error is an indication that change is necessary.
I do support the calls for there to be a stronger national regulatory framework. I understand health ministers are meeting on this very question tomorrow. It is important that the regulation in this space is strengthened because at the heart of this issue is are families who deserve to have the confidence of the big life-changing journeys that they go through by going on an IVF journey, that they have confidence in the system.
A hidden koala population has been discovered on the New South Wales mid-north coast using Indigenous knowledge combined with Western technology. Gamilaroi and Wiradjuri man Darren McKenney made the initial discovery at the Sugarloaf State Conservation Area inland of Newcastle. University of Newcastle researchers have worked alongside him to survey the koala population as part of a statewide study on the species. They have used spotlighting methods and thermal drone searches to find a significant population of more than 290 koalas. Melbourne's public transport network is being transformed into a moving gallery with the return of the first people's art trams to the streets for the Rising Festival. The first tram to hit the street will pay tribute to William Barak, a prominent Wurundjeri Woiwurrung leader and artist. The tram features an artwork called Corroboree, which is a culturally significant 1897 work returned to Victoria in 2022. It had been acquired by the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung Cultural Heritage Aboriginal Corporation with support from the Victorian government. And this week marked 50 years of SBS, a public broadcaster dedicated to multicultural Australia. Since 1975, SBS has been offering essential services to Australians from non-English speaking backgrounds, with more than 60 language teams. It is also the home to NITV, a channel made by, for and about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Award-winning journalist and broadcaster Ray Martin says SBS is now indispensable.
I can't imagine the Australian media landscape without SBS. It's that important in terms of the stories it tells. When it first started, I used to really just watch it for the football and maybe the Tour de France. But now I watch it probably more than, truly, I watch it probably more than I watch any network.
And that's NITV Radio's News Wrap of the Week.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. NITV Radio. Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio and I'm your host, Luana Grant. Still to come on the show today, we chat to singer-songwriter and music producer Candice LeRae and performing arts trailblazer Ben Gratz, who recently received the First Nations Fellowship Award. But first, let's take a look at some of the top stories from our NITV news team. The coroner, who conducted the inquest into the death of an Aboriginal man shot and killed by a former NT police officer, will lead the inquest into the death in police custody of Kumanjai White. Coroner Elizabeth Armitage spent 2 years investigating the death of Kumanjai Walker. The 19-year-old was fatally shot by former policeman Zachary Rolfe in Newindamoo during a bungled arrest in 2019. Dr. Peggy Dwyer, who assisted the coroner in the Walker inquest, has also been reappointed. In a statement, Judge Armitage said the inquest into the passing of Kumanjai White will be independent, fair and rigorous. She said her team is highly experienced in complex inquests involving NT Police and Alice Springs and Newindamoo-based agencies. Meanwhile, Northern Territory Police are investigating the death in care of an Aboriginal man who passed away after an incident at the Alice Springs Hospital. Police have confirmed an injured 29-year-old man was found on the hospital grounds last month, but died after 3 days. The man reportedly smashed a second-story window and jumped or fell. He was not in police custody at the time, so the matter is being treated as a death in care and will be the subject of a coronial inquest. The National Peak Body for Indigenous Legal Services is urging the federal government to create a Commonwealth body to independently investigate deaths in custody. NATSILS is calling on the government to enact an emergency justice safety plan to urgently address the over-incarceration of First Nations people. As part of the plan, NATSILS wants federal funding to the states and territories to be tied to systematic change, and for the mass incarceration of Indigenous people to be put on the national cabinet agenda. NATSILS Chief Executive Carly Warner also says there is a desperate need for an independent investigation process for deaths in custody.
the Commonwealth should show national leadership and create a federal system that at least allows for independent investigations of deaths in police custody. They can do this at the federal level. They could also allow for this federal system to ensure that independent investigators could go into other jurisdictions.
A disability advocate from Queensland has spoken at the United Nations, criticising the way the state government is detaining children. Human rights lawyer Tom Dixon from Queensland Advocacy for Inclusion travelled to New York to make the address. He told the UN that Indigenous children and children with disabilities are overrepresented in Queensland's criminal justice system. Mr. Dixon criticised the state government's adult crime, adult time laws, and he called on the Queensland Premier to listen to the UN and find better solutions for keeping children out of jail.
Upon arrest, children are not screened to identify disability. When incarcerated, they struggle to access existing disability supports or find new ones. Over 70% of children in prison have disability, and over the past 3 years in Queensland, there has been more than a 2,000% increase in children whose disability means they are not criminally responsible. We need to stop locking up our disabled children now.
The Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia says its latest Reconciliation Action Plan will provide culturally appropriate access to justice for Indigenous people. The plan introduces measures aimed at improving the court's support for First Nations communities. Some of the initiatives include retaining Indigenous staff and investigating the feasibility of more remote circuit locations. It also wants to strengthen cultural knowledge and awareness across all levels of the court, including judges.
It's very hard for me to watch my people being serviced by people, you know, other ethnic groups that don't understand the culture and don't understand how to show respect to our mob. This is our home, after all. Australia is our home.
We acknowledge that while significant attempts at reconciliation have been made for over a decade, we acknowledge we still have a long way to go, but we are committed to doing the work that is necessary.
A commissioner for the country's first Indigenous truth-telling inquiry has passed the halfway mark on a 450-kilometre walk for truth through regional Victoria. Gundij Mara man Travis Lovett began his walk at Portland, where the state's colonisation began. He's now walked more than 250 kilometres on his trek to Melbourne. 2,500 people have walked alongside him at different legs of the trek, with another 6,000 people expected to join in before it finishes. Mr. Lovett is expected to finish his walk at Victoria's Parliament House next week. Canadian First Nations hip-hop group Snotty Nose Rez Kids have made their way from British Columbia to Down Under for their global Red Future Tour. The tour is ahead of their latest album release, which reflects a bold version of Indigenous futurism and celebrates the rap duo's Hazlat Nation culture. The group told NITV reporter Ricky Kirby they hope their music breaks down barriers for the future generation.
We them bougie natives. Got turquoise on my red. We them bougie natives. Five rings up on my fist.
Young D and Young Tribes, thanks for joining us on NITV.
Thanks for having us.
Give me courage and protection and the blessing over us. Tell me boys, come on, cry when I'm rolling.
The tour is named after your latest album, Red Future. What is the inspiration behind this album?
The inspiration behind Red Future kind of comes from Indigenous excellence being in the spotlight. You know, there's been so many years of our people being oppressed, and there's been so much like resistance movements, and just showing what happens if you fight long enough.
One time for the home down the Rez Road. Two times for the crew in the city, though. Legend has it that creator made an animal. You didn't even know I'm an animal.
Your music is fiercely centered around your Hazlat culture. Why is it important for you to celebrate your language and culture through your music?
I mean, our people were almost taken out by, you know, genocide. Our communities were hit very, very hard. I think our stories have been silenced for so long, especially Hazlat people. You know, we lost our languages. Where we come from, as of 2019, there was only 6 language speakers that were fluent in our language. So I think it's just really important for us to put that at the forefront and let the next generation know that it's cool to kind of revitalize that.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Hey. Big brain energy. Maybe.
As First Nations people, what do you see your role as in the hip-hop space?
Being able to open doors for the next generation, you know, like I, like for us, it's really important to lay the groundworks in whatever it is that we do, and kick down barriers that were standing in our way when we first started.
For us, our biggest inspiration is those little kids watching the TV screen, going on YouTube, and being able to see themselves within us, and then inspire them to do whatever it is that they want to do in this life. That's the end all be all for us. That's what it's all about. We them bougie natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. You can holler at my name.
And in AFL, Melbourne Demon star Kaisiah Pickett has re-signed with the club for the next 7 years. The 24-year-old has 2 seasons remaining on his current contract, but he's agreed to an extension that will see him in the red and blue until at least the end of 2034. Pickett has booted 182 goals from his 116 games and is considered one of the most dynamic players in Aussie rules.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Next up, I'm joined by Candice LeRae, an award-winning First Nations singer-songwriter and music producer. Recently, Candice was one of 2 recipients of the First Nations Fellowship Award as part of the First Nations Arts and Culture Awards. She said she shares with us what this award means to her and her journey into music.
Hi, I'm Candice LeRae, and I am a proud First Nations female music producer. I was born in Latakia country with ties to Jawin country and over to the Torres Strait, all over to Erab, Mabiog, Badu, Thursday Islands. And I grew up mostly on Noongar Budja over there on Boorloo. And now living in Naam in Melbourne on Kulin country. And even though I'm here in Naam, I still call my home Darwin. The Northern Territory was where my heart and my spirit lies in everything that I do.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And thank you again for coming on NITV Radio to do a little interview with me. And I want to say a big congratulations on being one of the recipients of the 2024 First Nations Fellowships at the recent 2025 First Nations Arts and Culture Awards.
Thank you.
Massive achievement and a big congratulations. How did it feel to receive that award?
It was just unbelievable. Like, I did not think that I would be receiving the award. There was like an application process, you know, to talk about what you're planning to do with your fellowship. And so I was kind of thinking it was like more of a grant process. You know, you apply for it and for your project and you get the money. And so we got notified that I was accepted and I got the fellowship. And then just to follow up that, it was like, it's an actual award. It was like, it was just really humbling to and exciting to know that there was that extra step in the fellowship was to go and actually have an award ceremony. And it was extra special. So I feel, so grateful for it.
And for people who don't know, can you explain a little bit about the Fellowship Award? And, you know, you mentioned the application process, but what does the award provide you?
Yeah, so from my thinking, what I know, it's for more established artists that want to take their art to the next level, or what, you know, what can the artists do to establish that's not being done. You know, where's the gaps? What needs? What do we need in this industry, or what do we need in the arts? And those people that are going to, you know, lead projects in a different way. And for me, as a emerging producer and artist, I was performing for the last decade with a group called the Marindas, and I started to tinker and produce in a lot of the earlier music of Marindas, and then eventually I was at the point where I was just producing the music myself. And then I had a lot of inquiries and just a lot of, attention that I was a female, especially a female First Nations producer. And I had a couple of friends reach out and say, hey, can you produce my stuff? Because it was, I know a lot of artists out there have felt really uncomfortable with reaching out to producers, but there was just something about, you know, me already being an artist and already knowing people in the industry, where people just started to come to me to sit in a space and record them. And it just kind of dawned on me that most of those people were women, and I've had many conversations that there's not enough women in the recording and engineering space. And I've been in the industry for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I have not come across, I've done many albums, I have not come across a female producer or engineer,
mm-hmm.
And a First Nations one at that. And so the conversations we've had with women about comfortability in the space, and a lot of the women that I sit with have had stories and songs sitting for over a decade, more than 10 years, and they just haven't felt confident enough to go into a studio and record them. But now I've got a handful of projects now that are just beautifully growing in this space that I've created. You know, through the fellowship has allowed me to fund a recording studio, and my time to be in the studio, being there for these women to support them in their recording projects, and training another handful of them in music production. So my vision is to is for more female First Nations music producers, especially in electronic music. So the next 2 years is going to be pretty cool, pretty fun.
Yeah, it sounds
thanks
awesome.
To the fellowship. Yeah.
Such a great opportunity, and so great for you to be able to really support other First Nations women in that space, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Next up, we continue with part two of my chat with singer-songwriter Candice LeRae, one of the recipients of the First Nations Fellowship Award.
And I did want to talk a little bit about your music journey. Like, where did it all begin for you?
Yeah, so I was at a really young age, and I would dance around the living room, and I was in Darwin at the time, and me and Mum's biggest thing was, you know, cranking up the stereo in the house every evening, and I listened to a lot of music, and I always remember how it makes me feel, and how all I ever wanted to do was listen to music, was be and live in music. And at the time, Yothi Indy were biggest hit in the late 80s, early 90s up in Darwin. So I used to listen to a lot of Yothi Indy. And when I was traveling down with Mum in the car, we picked up a cassette tape on the side of the road. It was a Whitney Houston, the first time I ever heard Whitney Houston, Bodyguard soundtrack. And from then I'm like, yes, I want to be a singer. I was 7 years old.
Oh, that's so cute.
and so I was just singing all the way down, and I wake up every day wanting to do music. So I focused on that throughout school. After school, I left high school early to go into a music college to study. I studied at Ad Music College, which is a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Music College in Perth. So I got my diploma there, and then I went on to lecturing there. So I was teaching in a lot of different subjects for 10 years there. So I was there for like 14 years. I was at Ab Music, and I was in a couple of bands and managing a couple of bands. And so I was sort of involved in all of that, as well as my own stuff as a solo artist. And then the opportunity of Marinda's came. It just, when the Sapphires came out, we got asked to do a to form a girl group for the opening of that film in Perth, and that just snowballed it. We got a lot of bookings, and we ended up just making it a band for the Marindas. We called it the Marindas. Lily Gogos at the time was in the band, and her mom was like, what's a good name for the band? And it was and Marinda means beautiful woman in Eora language. Eora language. And so, yeah, we roll with that. And it's just the Marindas has been like, I don't know, it's just been 100% my living for the last 10 years. And, yeah, and I just rolled in. I've been rolling into music production since my time at Ab Music. So I've been doing it for nearly 15 years. Yeah, so it's been a journey.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I was going to ask you about the Marindas and how that collaboration came about. So you said it was back when the movie, like when the Sapphires came out.
Yeah, we were performing Motown songs, and at the time we were called the Motown Girls, and it was Angela Rule and Lily Gogos and myself. And we performed this one-off show, had a massive standing ovation, and then we got phone calls. Oh, you got to continue it. Let's book you. And we got like band bookings all over the place. We're selling out gigs. And from after 6 years of doing Motown covers, a couple of the girls stood off from the band, and then we had Rhiannon come in, and then Christelle came in first. So Christelle replaced Lily, and then Rhiannon replaced Angela, and then it ended up just being me and Christelle. And me and Christelle were like, hey, let's write originals, because like we want to tell our own stories, and we want to stop doing covers, you know. So what the East Coast here is, I don't think the East Coast knows the Motown Marindas. The West Coast know the Motown Marindas. They don't know the new original Marindas.
Like on NITV radio, we play Sing Until Sunrise. That's one of our favorite songs to play. Such a good track. And I remember you guys performing, it might have been at the NAIDOC Ball in Canberra five or six years ago. Yeah,
I remember that one.
I remember that might have been like the first time I'd heard you both singing and live, and it was awesome. And yeah, it's such an interesting story about how you mentioned the evolution of the band, and then writing original songs. And how has your identity as a First Nations artist like shaped your creative process and the stories that you tell through your music?
For me, it's about connecting back to family and country. For me, as a person, and I know everybody has this in them, is that as you grow older, you want to learn more about your family and where you're from, and you know, your heritage. And and part of what I like to do with my music is tie it all together, because what I write about and perform on stage is, you know, it's me telling my story. And the more that I learn about my heritage, my ancestors, my I feel, for me, it gives me more of a sense of belonging and a purpose to, you know, I just think art in general, especially with the new show that I'm doing, my solo act and my album, is compiling the stories of my family and speaking to country and our beliefs, and putting it all into one beautiful piece of art that will be passed down to the next generation. And it's all about the next generation for me. I love mentoring. I'm really passionate about helping young emerging people tell their story in music and that's sort of where I fell into the Singing Our Futures program, which is another thing that I'm doing with the Archie Roach Foundation, where we mentor 5 young people each year into songwriting and recording their own songs and telling their stories on major platforms at big festivals across the country. So we've got Big Sound and St Kilda Festival and Port Ferry Folk Festival. And yeah, it all just comes back to our story, really.
And do you enjoy being behind the scenes and that creative process more than performing, or is it just like a different experience and like you're giving different things? Like, what do you enjoy more?
If I put a percentage on it, I do probably 80% of the time enjoy behind the scenes more. But at the same time, yeah, when I'm at that 20% and I'm on stage doing it, I feel 100% wholesome, and I feel like I just become a different person, but then I have to switch back to that other person off stage, which I love. I do love being behind the scenes because it's all about community and gatherings and just connecting with people. It's all about working with people, really. And
And what do you hope to see in the future for First Nations artists in the music industry? Like, do you have any advice that you can give any young mob that are dreaming of a career in music or in the arts?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I do want to see more First Nations women in the music production engineering space, because we have a lot of, female artists out there that are just sitting there and don't feel confident or comfortable enough to be in a space that's controlled by men. And there's just something magical about women coming together and creating beautiful music. And only women would understand what I'm trying to say with that. But I just feel, there's so many incredible Indigenous talent right now coming out of the woodworks. Mm-hmm. So, I just want to see more events, like more. I know we had a lot of events back in the day, like we had the Deadlies, we had Dreaming Festival, there was Boomerang Festival. I just feel like now that we've grown in our artists, I feel like we've been stripped back of all those opportunities a little bit, and I just want to see it thrive in the event space as well.
I just want to also say it's been so lovely to chat to you, and congratulations on your award. It's so well deserved.
Thank you.
And coming up now is Ben Gratz, who recently caught up with SBS and NITV's Veronica Leonard to chat about what receiving the First Nations Fellowship Award means to him.
Recently received the First Nations Fellowship.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that involves?
Yeah, so the Creative Australia Fellowship gets awarded, I don't know if it's annually or if it's every 2 years, but it's really to support artists that are working in the sector to be able to further their work or develop their work or do research or work towards an event. And so my fellowship is to eventually create a global First Nations queer arts and cultural gathering. And it's really on the back of Sydney World Pride, where we were able to create a really important and really an event that really changed the kind of the engagement of queer First Nations people at major events like a Sydney World Pride or a Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. And so this is just building on what we really created at Sydney World Pride. And, you know, it's about gathering mob, bringing people from overseas to be able to, you know, collaborate, to communicate, to share, to laugh. But most importantly, it's about having conversations through our arts and culture and being able to come together and heal. And yeah, so my fellowship is for 2025 and 2026 to do a bit of research into, yeah, making that happen.
What has it meant for you to get this kind of support for a project like that?
Oh, look, it's so important, because sometimes it would not have been possible without it, because you know, as artists, we're constantly looking for the next work, and we're trying to do everything on such a shoestring budget that it's really hard to be able to do projects that don't have the support just yet, or to be able to examine into what, you know, sponsorships might be available, what grants are available. You have to really do it on the fly, whereas this gives you a bit of space, it gives you a bit of breath to be able to take a step back and to really do it in a really thoughtful way, but also to be able to set up really solid foundations and to have, you know, important conversations with the right people. So it's about, yeah, developing it in a way that's culturally appropriate, culturally safe, but allows you a bit of breathing space, so you're not always feeling like, you know, you're not able to do it because your priorities are on other work, trying to make a living, really. So this gives you a bit of space to be able to do that. To be able to support artists within the sector, whether it's through grants or fellowships, is really valuable, and it enables artists to be able to continue to practice, you know, their work and to build on what they what they're passionate about in a way that doesn't make them feel like that they're, you know, not been able to do it because they've got no funds or they're not able to support themselves financially. And so to have that support is really important, but also, you know, it's also about networking. It's also about ensuring that you're connected with the community and the sector as well.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. A reminder to tune into NITV this Saturday at 10 p.m. for the First Nations Women Showcase, an annual concert showcasing emerging and established female First Nations artists, musicians and storytellers across all genres of music, hosted by Dizzy Doolin and Emily Warramara. NITV Radio will be back next week with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.